This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Saya betul-betul tak puas hati pakai ini gelang. Pasal tak boleh pergi kerja, tak boleh sebab burung. Burung macam mana terbang pusing-pusing, pergi jalan-jalan, tak boleh makan angin pun tak boleh. Kalau saudara mati pun tak boleh pergi. Pasal saya tak ada buat main kes, tapi orang-orang yang ramai buat masalah manya-manya, dia tak ada pakai. Kalau orang miskin, tak ada wang, dia orang kasi pakai. Kalau orang ada wang semua lebih-lebih, dia orang kaki tak ada ini. Dan boleh kasi wang, settle dia seorang keluar kau tim.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. The annual Freedom Film Fest, which is run by the Freedom Film Network, has been bringing socially relevant human rights films to Malaysians since 2003. So currently in its 18th year, the festival has produced a growing collection of more than 50 Malaysian films that contain important and alternative narratives of Malaysia using a human rights lens and also from the perspective of the marginalised. Now, as we stay home to stay safe, the good people behind the festival and network are releasing a specially curated Freedom Film Fest playlist every Friday, which they've dubbed Weekend Watch with Freedom Film Fest, and this is going to be released on their YouTube channel. So this is basically a compilation of stories from films shown throughout the course of all the previous festivals, and they're all thematically curated to give us great films to watch and hopefully lots to think about as well. So this week's playlist is themed hashtag IPCMCNow, and it is a collection of films that showcase why an independent police complaints and misconduct commission is necessary to hold those who abuse their power accountable for their actions. So today on the show, I'll be speaking to two different filmmakers whose works tackle different aspects related to police abuse and deaths in custody. And first up, I've got joining me is Seven Doraisamy. He's the executive director of Suara Rakyat Malaysia, or Suaram, and he's also the director of Poka Boy, which is a short documentary about Ang, a 16-year-old boy who was placed under the Prevention of Crime Act 2015. And, you know, it's basically Ang sharing his side of the story. So we're going to find out more about that. Welcome, Seven. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Juliet. Thank you for having me.
So, of course, we're going to be talking about the film that you directed, which is called Poka Boy. But before we get to that, maybe you can give us a brief 101 of what Poka is. It's the Prevention of Crime Act. You know, tell us why this law was initially enacted. What powers does it grant to the PDRM?
So POCA, initially it was called Prevention Crime Act, Prevention of Crime Act. What happened was after the abolishment of ISA and also Emergency Ordinance, Malaysians so much used to ISA, right? It was enacted in 1960. And throughout the history, this law was used and misused. And we all know for many reasons, it was also used against political dissenters. So even during our school days, when people are saying something against the government, they said, are you going to get arrested under ISA? That kind of fear is created throughout, right? And then that's one of the tool or weapon during Barisan Nasional's time, where they used it against all the political dissenters. So as you know, Suaram was born in 1989, aftermath of Operasi Lalang under the fourth Prime Minister, then Prime Minister Dr. Mahathir then. So 87 Operasi Lalang, so 89 people came out and then they started a group, a family group, to campaign against the Internal Security Act, and they called themselves Suara Rakyat Malaysia. That's where Suaram born. So the main focus was against this detention without trial law. Why ISA? ISA, Internal Security, in the name of security, in the name of national security, they just can arrest anyone. So at that point of time, 87, we have experienced, they have arrested political dissenters, politicians, lawyers, academicians, right? And in 70s, they have used against students. So the campaign started at that point of time, 87. But fast forward, 2012, during Najib's as a prime minister, he feel the government getting unpopular because of using all these draconian laws. And there's also international call from the campaign, as well as people start to feel that ISA is an archaic law, and then it's time to let go ISA, right? And also there was a big, huge demonstration. This was way before Bersih. So there was a Gerakan Mansukan ISA led by Suaram, and there's a street protest, and huge number of people protested against this law. So So 2008, the government, BN government, start to feel they are losing power. A few states in the election of 2008, few states fall onto the opposition. So after that, Najib promised to get rid of two laws. One is this detention without trial laws, and then sedition, of course. But then sedition remains, but he managed to abolish ISA in 2012. But there was a lot of issue brought out by people within his own party, you know, you're losing grip, losing the power to control and all that. Somehow, slowly, he bring back other laws. So he introduced new laws. So first was SOSMA, 2012-2013. And SOSMA is, they call a security law, but it's not a law that you can charge someone. It's a preventive law, but it's a procedural law. So in the name of security offences, so they can arrest people and detain you under the remand, the first remand, for 28 days. So that's a large number of remand days, which we were against this since ISA days, right? Because ISA allow the police, allow the authority to keep you for 60 days in the name of investigation, but most of the cases end up in interrogation and also torture practices. And then they sent you to the detention centre for 2 years. There are more than 2 years, and some people, very lucky, they come out within the 2 years. So this was ISA. So here, first they brought SOSMA, 28 days, remand days, and there's no bringing you to the court. So what happened during that 28 days, we wouldn't know. So we have a lot of cases that there's a torture, okay, and forced to admit they have their crime and all these practices, the usual practices happening. After that, SOSMA can't be used to charge you, right? So they have to refer back to penal code and then charge you in the court, right? So during that time, until the case is over, until there's a verdict in the court, the bail will be denied. So what happened if after 2 or 3 years or probably 5 years, and then the court found you not guilty, so you are wasting all your years. So that's another provision here. Kind of have the notion of detention without trial, or in the SOSMA's case, there will be a trial, but until it ends, you won't be granted bail, right? Mm. So that's a long process. And then immediately after SOSMA, the government introduced 2013 or 14, they introduced or enacted Prevention of Crime Act. And this is coming back in a full square of ISA. 60 days for remand. Of course, they will say after 21 days, we'll bring to magistrate, and then the extension for another 38 over days. So in total, it's a 60 days. In most of the cases, if not 100%, most of the cases, the magistrate here who's sitting in the panel, so it's not an open court, it's a panel hearing, just a rubber stamp endorsing the proposal of extension to another 38 days after this 21 days expires. So in many cases, or most of the cases, you get 60 days, right? And then after that, either you release, not so many cases, most of the cases they send to preventive centers, of course, a prison, or restricted residency. In some cases that we are fighting, including juvenile, they will get electronic monitoring device fixed into their leg, and then they'll get a restrictive residency. In some rare cases, which is the topic we are going to talk later, he get his own house, so he can't leave his house with a radius of 10 kilometers. So that's POCA. So POCA, this is the reason why you have to have a criminal law to prevent, as a preventive mechanism, but you're using that to keep people without having a proper trial. And for our worry, it's been misused again and again and again. So that's our initial worry. The government promised that time they won't misuse, especially SOSMA and POCA. They said they won't use against political dissenter, unlike the ISA. But we have seen it is being misused in various ways. SOSMA is being used against Maria Chin for Berse, and then Matthias Chang, as well as Khairuddin, in the name of sabotaging economy. But then after that, the court declared that they are not supposed to be arrested under SOSMA. So we know it's very clear misuse of SOSMA provision, and POCA as well. POCA meant for, why we oppose POCA, and then the government says, no, this is only for hardcore criminal. where we find it difficult to prove or evidence, you know, their sleek, the way they do crime, you know, so they have a long record and all that. But we're already seeing again and again this is being misused and also targeting young offenders, in some cases juvenile, the one of the case we are talking about. So if a 16 years old, 17 years old boy, if you categorize him as a hardcore criminal, he started when he was 10, 8, 9. It's a big issue with our society if that's the case, right? So it's illogical. But the police always will come out, oh, you have a previous record. So we have seen this trend is coming where you'll be arrested and re-arrested for in the span of 3 or 4 months. We call it chain remand, ataupun tukar gari. So Balai A arrest you, remanded you, keep you, but couldn't charge you. There's no evidence whatsoever. And then pass it to Balai B. Balai B goes same process, appeal for remand, 3 days plus another 3 days, and then you can't charge Balai C. So then they apply POCA with the reasoning that you already have a record Balai A, Balai B, Balai C, which is ridiculous because you are not being charged and the court did not say you are guilty. And this practice goes on up until now. So that's why we thought, okay, the people need to know what is the practice is and why POCA need to go. Mm-hmm. All the police need to do is do a proper investigation and charge them in the court. Let the due process happen. Simple as that. Why you need this kind of draconian, inhuman detention provision and also excessive remand days.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole thing, POCA, right, that is what your film POCA Boy is centered on, right? It's a 12 and a half minute documentary. It's about Ang, who is a 16-year-old boy who has been placed under POCA. And basically, Ang is sharing the events that led to his house arrest, right? Tell us why you wanted to make this film and what you hoped would come out, you know, for the public through this film.
Okay, one of Swaram's work is trying to empower the general public with the knowledge and also to get them understand the law. So our regular training is hak anda dan polis, your rights and the police power, right? So in most of the training, to make the training very interesting and creative, we used to use film to showcase and make them understand. And there was like a season where too many death in custody happening and also many people arrested and then they don't know their rights. So we do in various languages. Sometimes we do in English, Malay, Tamil, and also in Mandarin. And sometimes we use the film to get them to relate. So at that point of time, there was one film in Tamil, Visaranai from South India, won a national award. So we use this film, and I see that film, it's talk about misuse of power, police, torture in power, detaining someone without telling the public or lawyers or access to the family members, and also there's a death in custody. And it's a national award film. So I thought, hey, come on, we have a better story here, right? We have a better story, and Ang's story is a complete case of juvenile, under detention. So it means a 16 years old got arrested for a law that's only meant for a hardcore criminal. So that's something wrong in the society. And then with only one or two cases, Hang became a hardcore criminal. Okay, so he was arrested for possessing stolen goods. So not even arrested during stealing something or rompa, right? So possessing stolen goods. And then he was tortured. And then he eyewitnessed a death in custody. And then on top of it, because of that, he was re-arrested under POCA. So everything is there in one simple story. And Ang is a 16 years old boy. So to tell this story out, many people, it will raise eyebrows of many people. So that's the reason, okay, now I have to do something on this story. So we've been like record this his case and follow up with his case. That's not enough. Let's do something to make it public, at least to show to Malaysian people this is happening. So Visaranai, the story is from India. Okay, you can relate for a certain extent, but this story is behind your door, right? It can happen to you, even it's in Malaysia. So that's our story, Malaysian story. So that's the reason I chose this story and name it POCA Boy.
Okay, and I've watched it. It's very short, you know, it's very very easy watch. It's easy to watch, but it's also very difficult to watch at the same time to see what's happened to Ang. Basically, he can't leave his house, right? He has to wear what you said is like a what is it called? The band, right?
Yeah, electronic monitoring device. So he was only allowed to leave the radius of 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers actually. So that's limiting teenage boys' movement. And imagine how active teenage boy will be. And if you confine him, labeling him as a hardcore criminal, so imagine the trauma he himself and the family going through. So he have talked about it in the film. And there's a lot of things for a 16-year boy to say it out, a lot of things. Like, for example, at one point he said, those have money easily can go out. So we, the poor ones, get beaten and all this. So that's, you don't have to be a philosopher to analyze this, right? So from his point of view, what he have seen inside, he know this thing happening.
And, you know, you alluded to him seeing his friend also being abused and, you know, subsequently dying from the abuse in custody. Of course, we're talking about Balamurugan, and that was a huge case. You know, the investigations, the special committees found that the police were indeed, you know, the cause of Balamurugan's death. Am I correct? Is that the case that was happening as well?
That's true. That's right. Yeah. So they were arrested at the same time. Tamil and also Ang were arrested together, and after that, Balamurugan. So it's same point of time. So they are kind of in the same lockup. So he experienced his own beating. He have seen Balamurugan was beaten up. So on that particular day, he was brought out for further investigation. When he came back, you already see Balamurugan is like half dead, right? And then Ang got his own food, and then Balamurugan's food was there. This is how Ang was narrating the whole thing. And then this poor boy tried to feed Balamurugan. You know, even at that condition, that situation, he was beaten, and then he sees his friend was also beaten, and it's like can't move and all that. So he went and feed him, you know, tried to. So the compassion of a 16-year-old boy, what happened to the adults there? And then subsequently, the next day, Balamurugan was declared deaf. So immediately, the National Human Rights Institutions, WACA, and EIC, the Enforcement Integrity Commission, came out and said they're going to investigate on this case. So after Ang's remand expires, he was released, actually. And then in the EIC's investigation, Ang was listed as eyewitness. And then Ang was rearrested under POCA. And using POCA against 16 years old is super ridiculous. So because of POCA, he can't come out for the first 60 days. So the EIC investigation happened during that 60 days. Ang was brought in as an eyewitness with handcuff under POCA and give his witness statement during the EIC investigation. And after that, after the expiry of 60 days, we made a lot of noise, brought this issue to the parliament through Klang Member of Parliament, Wabi Charles, as well as send letters to AG, as well as Home Minister then, Zaid Hamidi. But somehow we want an immediate release, right? A total release. But somehow it's end up they fixed electronic monitoring device to his leg, and then he was released from detention, but was still under POCA with the EMD, electronic monitoring device, sent to his house.
And is he still having that device with him, even today?
No, it's supposed to end last year or before that.
Okay, all right. I guess, you know, when you were making the film, what was your hope for it as well, you know, for the public especially, to take away from it?
Okay, there's two things. One is, you know, the general public may feel that it's okay to torture a criminal. So here you wanted to prove that he's not even a criminal. He is not even declared as a criminal, that there's no court process, 16 years old. So there's so many things here before you wanted to like label someone a criminal, right? Because there's like during ISA, it was much easier to carry the campaign, although it's hard for success. But it was a bit easier because of the political mileage that ISA, anti-ISA campaign got. because they use against political dissenters. So everyone come on board on the campaign. But you do a campaign against the misuse of power against criminal. There's not general public that are not so much keen to support you. They say the criminal, they deserve that. You know, same on prevention of terrorist act, POTA. Or they are terrorists, they deserve it, that kind of thing. So we wanted to showcase that there's a due process. Okay, there need to be a check and balance on this law. Otherwise, this is how they're going to abuse. So this is the story I wanted to bring out. And then Ang is a perfect case, although we don't want such case, right? But it's already happened. So that's a good case to bring it out, to tell them, see, not too judgmental on how the, and follow the way the government propagate the use of the success use of POCA. But here, look at this case. So there's a huge contradiction we need to know. So that's one of the reason why. And the other one is also generally campaign against torture in custody. So we also wanted to campaign for Malaysia to ratify Convention Against Torture, the UN Convention Against Torture, UNCAT. We came very close, but we didn't sign. And in the region, we are one of the countries with very least international treaty signed, right? So, yeah, so this is part of our campaign on misuse of power and why we need IPCMC, as well as campaign against torture.
Yeah, so, you know, as relevant as it was then, it's still, sadly, it's still relevant today. These cases are still happening. Okay, I guess just to conclude, Seven, you're also having a talk this weekend as well in conjunction with the film, re-release of the films. And it's got something to do with actually what Ang spoke about, you know, a mixture of chili powder and thinner being rubbed on their bodies after they were received beatings. Tell me about that. What's happening this weekend?
Okay, this weekend is a forum, a film. It's not extended version of Poka Boy, but it's one part of the Poka Boy. And Soram's coordinator, IPCMC coordinator, Muhammad, together with the animator, recreated that scene as an animation. So this is focusing on what type of torture that Ang went through, what type of torture 16-year-old boy went through during the police detention or under in lockup. So it's focused clearly more on that. And then we're going to talk about the general torture practices in Malaysia and why we need a campaign against torture, why we need an anti-torture campaign in Malaysia, and why we need people to support that. So the title is Thinner and Chili Powder. I don't know how much I can reveal now. So the animation will be launched this weekend. Just to give you some idea, the kind of torture that Ang went through under the police lockup, which include the use of chili and thinner against his body after they beat him. So imagine, once you got beaten, and then they rub you with the chili and spray thinner on your body. And 16 years boy, what he went through. So that's the focus for this Saturday.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much for joining me today. That was Seven Dorasamy, the Executive Director of Suara Rakyat Malaysia, or Suaram, and he's also the director of the short film Poka Boy. So if you'd like to watch the premiere of Chili Powder and Thinner, which Seven was talking about just now, you just need to register at bit.ly/filmchili. That's bit.ly/filmcili to get a spot to watch that. And if you'd like to watch the films under this week's playlist, which again is themed #IPCMCNow, just head to the Freedom Film Fest YouTube page, or you can find out more information by following them on Facebook and Instagram as well. But don't go anywhere. I'll be speaking to another filmmaker after this. Tricia Yeo will be joining me after this quick break to talk about her film Rites of the Dead. Keep it right here on Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.